When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited just to have another moment to say yes to God, to continue to move this servant leadership assignment forward. And we can't do that without other individuals saying yes to us. And I'm so excited about the servant leader we have on today. I say this all the time. Time is one of those things in life that once it's given, it is a beautiful gift because it can't be given back. I cannot return it nor exchange it. Today, we have servant leader Dr. Paula Maddox with us. I told her briefly before we start this conversation that I'm humbled every time that I get to introduce and get introduced to people who can move this servant leader piece and agenda forward. She truly has a valuable and blessing of a resume that I know she's going to impart some gems and wisdom into this conversation. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners. And we're going to get this conversation started.
Wonderful. Hello, listeners. Hello, Chelsea. It's such a pleasure to be here. And I am so honored to be able to speak with you and also to your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for that. You know, I kind of give you a brief overview of just kind of how this platform started. If you're a first-time listener, a new listener, this truly was a hand of God. And when we talk about servant leadership, and I know I want to go there, servant leadership, we see it on books. We see it as many leaders in their tagline. And it takes on so many different phases and pieces. You know, in our lives, I know I call myself as a servant leader and just truly trying to move to servant lead like Christ. Let's start right there, right? In all of your walks and everything and every facet that you follow through in life, how does being a servant leader guide you? And what does truly being a servant leader mean to you?
Yes, servant leadership is the core of what I've always believed in, always tried to value. And I saw it just kind of playing out in every aspect of my career and my life. So it is still my anchor. And I've watched how God just navigated me through, you know, even when I thought I was making the best laid plans for my life and my career and the next job and the next advancement role, I just watched him dismantle all of that and like, no, your plans are not that great. Get checked out and get a load of this. And when I let him just take full control of that thing and take me places, put me in spots that really allowed me to allow that servant leadership to soar, I was truly amazed. And I just let him do what he does so best and just allow him to use me as his vessel.
I love that. You know, there's a song that we all know, and that tagline, it says, use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I'm available to you. And I tell you, some of my most amazing blessings came from just simply being an available vessel. So I love that you said that. I truly do. You know, in understanding your background, right, as I read it, you spent years in government and then you took a pivotal shift, right, into your approach to strategic leadership after receiving your doctorate. Can we talk a little bit about that pivot? You know, I know you're inspired a lot and led by God, but can you talk a little bit about your work in the government sector and then kind of shifting your focus to where you are now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, while you're in the midst of your career, you don't fully understand how God is using all of that to our advantage and for the advancement of the kingdom. I'll be honest, I called home and talked to my mother at least two or three times. I'm ready to get out of here. This place is the pits, all the things that were just going, you know, wrong and things that just weren't going the way that I expected them to go. But I did spend 31 years with the federal government, started with the FBI and headquarters in Washington, D.C., and tried to navigate myself through those different, ebbs and flows of the federal government, which are not easy. They come with a multitude of challenges. But I saw how God had his hand in all of that. And he also allowed me to take advantage of some of the benefits they were offering, which is tuition reimbursement. So they did pay for my master's degree in management. And I stayed on. And what I noticed is that I always tried to help bring the public into knowing how to bid for those contracts, how to help all of my stakeholders, my colleagues. And God was just growing me. He was giving me different opportunities to really grow these skills in coaching. And I didn't really realize it at the time. And that was just part of the servant leadership segment of it. So as closing out that 31-year career, which I call Act One, and opening up Act Two,
I love that.
Quite sure how that was going to look, but God gave me a word one day. I had no plans to retire at the 31-year mark, and he just gave me a word. He said, I need you to leave Atlanta, where I have been living for 24 years. I need you to expedite your papers to retire. And I'm like, ooh, where am I going? And he did not immediately say anything. I just had to go on faith, start packing, didn't know whether to pack my winter clothes, summer clothes, spring clothes, had no idea what to do. I just continued to plot to really pack. And he eventually told me, he said, you're returning back home to Mississippi. And I didn't know why at the time. I just had to trust him. Everybody at home was fine. So I did move back home with my mother. And about, I would say a little less than a year, my mother had a light stroke, but God already had me in place. Care for her, and he had already placed me in a doctorate program because I had no idea I was going to pursue a doctorate. The university called me one morning. I'm just preparing coffee. I had not heard of the university before, and we had an engaging conversation and everything. And she said, "Well, just through this conversation, I have enough information to complete your doctorate program application. If you would give me permission to submit it," I said, "Go ahead and submit it. I don't mind." She said, "Well, by the way, how would you pay for this?" I said, "Darling, I just retired. I'm living on a pension. And if God wants me to go to school, he will be paying for it." Well, by midnight that night, I get a phone call from India.
Wow.
And it is a relative of Deepak Chopra. And she just opened up a coaching company in India and signed a contract with a major Fortune 100 company here in the U.S. She said, "I need U.S. coaches."
Wow.
I said, "Sending me back to school." So the coaching paid. God, let me tell you the miracles of the one we serve.
Yes, yes.
Coaching paid for a $90,000 doctorate program where you cannot get any grants.
Wow.
You pay out of pocket, get a loan, or you don't go. He paid for it.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Debt free. No loans.
That's a God thing.
That is. I couldn't have planned that in my best day.
But you know what's amazing about that? And as you were speaking, everything that just chimed in my head was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have and think towards you. You know, I always stop there in my meditation when I get back to those, you know, and I tell people all the time, let's not take the most commonly spoken scriptures for granted. You know, there's certain ones that we hear often. It's like, oh yeah, I know that one. And I try to ensure that because I know it in my, as my grandma would say, keep it in your heart. I don't ever want to take it for granted because see, it's a personal thing. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And that thing is beautiful because it means that the blessings that he has in store are for me. You know, I was saying this the other day before we continue this conversation, and I'm thinking about how you just explained that and what the thoughts he had towards you. You know, this is sports, and we know the WNBA is thriving. And if you watched NCAA, you know, college basketball, Iowa, Caitlin Clark, and the world's going in a tizzy because of her and her fame. And that's great. But there was a young lady, her teammate, Kate Martin. And Kate Martin was also on that Iowa team. And she was a senior and she didn't know if she was going to be drafted in the same WNBA draft as Caitlin Clark, who was scheduled to be first. And she was. Well, Kate Martin went to the draft. She went to support her teammate, Caitlin Clark. When people ask her, was she going to be drafted? She said, "Well, I don't even have an agent. I don't think so. I don't know. If I am, awesome. If not, I'm here to support my friend." Caitlin Clark got drafted first, and she was there cheering her on, supporting her. She was in the stands. Midway between the draft, people go and find her in the stands and tell her, hey, hey, we need you to move. And she's like, you need me to move? Yes, we need you to move. You're about to be drafted. And when I think about Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, watch it, an expected end. She went for one thing, but his expected end was that she was going to be drafted. And when I think about what your expected end was, you retired. The Lord told you to retire and you had no idea, but your obedience. And so even though you thought the retirement, the end was your expected end, God said, oh no, I know the thoughts I think towards you. And he had a different expected end for you. That is enough to make me want to get up and run. Okay. that is good. Yes. That's so good. And, you know, you speak so well and often and unapologetically about the hand of God in your life. I want to take a step back, you know, before some of my other questions. And if you don't mind, I would really like to know, we all have our own story of how we came to know Christ. Or as my grandma used to say, my mama would say, how do you know him for yourself? Right. Tell us a little bit of how you learned Christ for yourself.
Oh, that's a great question. And thank you for asking that. Yes, I began to know him early in life. Being raised in Mississippi, my family raised us in the Catholic faith. We were in Catholic schools for a time, but I had such an internal conflict based on church doctrine.
Gotcha.
And when I compared it to my personal relationship, even as a young child, it just, something was disruptive inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I asked questions of the nuns and people at the church and at the school. And of course, they called my parents and they said, hey, we need to talk to you about Paula. And I got a little lecture about, you know, don't question God. I said, I'm not questioning God, I'm questioning them. So I wanted, you know, my personal relationship just went far beyond any religious framework, doctrine, and I stayed with that. Okay, raised Catholic, that's okay. But as I began to get older, I don't claim any particular denomination. I am just a child of the Most High God, the
Come
King. I'm his daughter.
Yes.
And however he navigates me, I am fine with it. And I stay in this word. I begin every day with this word because I need it, because he's sending me out as a smaller shepherd to deal with his flock. I coach people all over the world. I've coached in 57 different countries so far. And I coach all the way from C-suite all the way down, Fortune 50 companies and everywhere. Yeah. And I hear the same topics. The amazing thing, people are coaching from different parts of the world on some of the same basic topics. And that is what encouraged me to write this last book that God gave to me. And now he has me writing another one. So
expect it in.
But when I think about all the times when I used to write letters to family members, because long distance calls were not a norm. Long distance rates were very, very expensive. So I would write letters to family members who were not located near me. And my mother spent a ton of money on stamps, but they were cheap then. And family members would say, yeah, I got Paula's book. I'm like, it was a letter. No, that was a book. So God even used some of those early gifts that I began to just really mature in, and look, and I am writing actual books now, and they're being purchased all over the world. So he doesn't waste anything. And when he still had me going into Act Two work, and I said, well, that makes sense. He never offered the disciples a pension plan, a retirement package. They worked until they left here.
Ooh.
That's what we are supposed to be doing as well.
Isn't that a blessing? You know, you remind me of, she's a mentor of mine, a big sister. Her name is Dr. Brittany Ezell. She's a longtime coach, decorated athlete. And now she is a amazing manager for a company out in Tennessee. But she would always say, and when she's coming on a podcast or talks to me, she says, Chelsea, you know, plain and simple, all I know is when I get to heaven, when I get before Christ, I want to be tired. I want to be hands on my knees, bent down, like I've played the entire game with no sub. And I want him to know that I've exhausted everything that he had in me. And so when I hear you say that, I'm just like, yes, because that is always the beauty of servant leadership, right? You know, just like you said, God doesn't waste anything. That's how I want to be every day. I don't want to lay down. And when I look up, I know that I didn't fulfill what he called for me on that day.
There you go.
Moment for moment, I want to ensure that his will was done and he was pleased with what I did before I lay my head on my pillow. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
You know, you talk about the book, you talk about what God is going to continue to write you another one, right? But before we get there, you know, you mentioned something that was already kind of in my line of thinking, that you've coached and led, and this path God has you on and shifted you to, even before the leadership and government has allowed you to see many different places, coach many different people. You mentioned that a lot of the topics and segments that you coached on, no matter where, they unify each other, right? So what that also tells me is that sometimes there's probably some of the same unifying challenges that you also see. Can you kind of, as the servant leaders of all facets, and we, you know, those in leadership looking to kind of sharpen our iron, can you kind of touch on some of those consistencies that leaders see, those challenges that they may see, and talk to us about A, what you would maybe tell them, or how you yourself navigated outside of that?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, I listen to all of the standard topics that I get to come to my coaching table. All of them fall, the majority, I would say more than 90% of them, maybe more than 95% of them, fall under this huge umbrella of communication.
Mm-hmm.
How to have those difficult conversations, those sensitive conversations, how to give feedback, how to receive feedback, how to negotiate, how to be able to mediate between, you know, cross-functional teams when you don't actually agree. And that's okay. That's the beauty of debating. And I don't call, you know, a lot of times they say, well, conflict resolution. Well, the word conflict comes from the context of war and battle. We're not really in war or having a battle most of the time. We just have a differing opinions, which when we begin to unpack it, we all are learning something. Not to say that it's going to change our opinion, but we're learning more. We're opening up our minds and our thoughts to a more global perspective. So those are some of the main ones. People have forgotten how to communicate to one another. We communicate with, you know, AI devices and digital devices, but the human connection, we have somehow lost a lot of that. And we lost even more of that, even going through the pandemic.
Yes. Yes. And you know what's crazy about that? So like I said, I'm an educator on assignment. If I would have had it my way, okay, and my expected end was something totally different. I swore up and down I was not going to teach. I was not going to deal with young people after watching my mom do that for 44 years, okay? But my expected end leads me to education. And based off what you just said, after the pandemic, oh my goodness, it is amazing to me how the ability to communicate, I have to deal with that with my young people. But it's even crazier because of the lack of communication skills my colleagues, not particularly at my school, but just adults, I mean, are also having in the same way. So when you say that, it just kind of opens my eyes even wider that these are the same struggles that are consistent everywhere, everywhere.
They are. And the pit of that, if you take it down to the lowest common denominator, communication, really, we should be doing more listening and hearing. And there is a difference between the two. Then we're talking. We should be, you know, ingesting more information instead of just distributing it all the time. Because if we're talking, we're not listening and we're not hearing anyone else.
So true. It was a coach. This summer, I'm helping out academic enrichment for our football players who are in summer football. And great young man. I'm proud of them. And there's a longtime coach. That's a totally different story. I told him he's going to have to come on here. He's an amazing man. Met him for 5 minutes. Okay. But even prior to me meeting him, he comes in to the young man to get him from my class to take him to the field. And he says, okay, guys. He said, you know, it's time to go XYZ. And then he stops and he says, no, you guys aren't, you're not listening. And we listen to coach. He says, no, look at me, listen to me. He said, you know, there's only two rules in life. What coaching you all, Look at me, listen to me. If you're looking at me, you're listening to me. If your eyes are not on me, I know you're not listening because you're not even respecting me enough to give me eye contact. And it floored me because I was like, OMG. He said, oh yeah. He said, that's my thing. He said, they know that. I walk into a room and I say, look at me, listen to me. Listening to me does not require talking. So if you're talking, you're not listening. And if you're not looking at me, you're not listening. And it was so, what seemed simple, but it was so profound because how often do we see that? I'm having a conversation with you, say on a random day, and I'm in my phone or I'm over there. And then it's, yeah, I'm listening to you and we miss the whole thing. Or I'm listening to respond as opposed to listening to understand.
Absolutely. But I like what he stated, because when looking at a person, that's where you're picking up the other cues. You know, are we listening? We're listening to understand what words are being used. There's such a huge scale of words we can use to express ourselves and our thoughts. If a person uses a lighter word, well, I'm just a little frustrated today. Okay, you're just not having an okay day. If you tell me, oh no, I'm really ticked off. Oh, okay, that's pretty strong. Whenever I hear people using a word on the stronger end of the scale, there's an immediate attachment and connection. I need to see if I can get them to detach, to listen objectively to what I'm saying to them. So listen to the words they're using, listen to the energy of the voice, what facial expression. All of this is telling you where that person is, where the mindset, the thoughts and everything. So you know how to pivot your conversation with that person to make that connection.
That's so big, you know, that's so big. And it just speaks volumes, though, when a person truly is intentional about listening to the individual that they're speaking with, whatever the level, it speaks volumes to me about that person. Like, I'll have a conversation with someone and they're listening so intentionally that it throws me, like, and they're like, what? And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just, I know you legitimately are hearing, like, you're truly invested in what I'm saying. And it's throwing me right now. Like, they're connected with the eyes. They're like, I can see it. And it's like, I'm sorry. It's just rare. And I'm enjoying it. So I think that's phenomenal. We talked about the book that you've written, and I'm floored with it, but the title is what kind of took me out first. And I love that, right? You have authored a book. It says Think Globally, Lead Strategically, A Christian Guide to Building, watch it, effective leaders. All right. Because there's a difference.
Oh, yes.
There's a difference. I want you to go a couple of different places here. I want you to just talk a little bit about, we know that you move by the hand of God and how this book came about, you know, a part of your journey, but also to just give us a synopsis of what this book can offer us as servant leaders.
Oh, those are great questions. Well, the book concept was not my idea. It was one of those heavenly downloads that God gave to me.
Come on now.
And it was a good concept. He said, yes, if you take business principles and you take my scriptures and you blend these things together, this would be the baby. This would be the infant from me. And so he showed me how to take some of the basic business practices of things that we've always been taught, you know, about having your board of directors, having your advisors, da, 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 da. He said, no, what did my scripture tell you to do? And what the scriptures told you to do, I'm showing you in the scripture what was the final result. And those results turned out great for so many leaders, from Moses to Abraham to King David. So why are we listening to everybody else?
Ooh.
Not taking counsel with him. I mean, you had Abraham who, you know, the tribes were growing, and then it took his father-in-law Jethro to say, hey, you need to select some of the elders here, tribes, to listen to some of these cases. It's impossible for you to do it alone. We are not supposed to be navigating alone as leaders.
Come on.
What about those prayer intercessors? What about other people of faith that help pray you through decisions instead of calling up, you know, CEO or somebody else in the C-suite someplace else, getting their advice or recommendation? What are we really doing?
It's big. That's big. And, you know, it's crazy that you say that, and I'm really floored right now. It's confirmation. Let me start there. So, but it is amazing because that's how I try to move. Right. As a leader, you know, we all fall short, but I truly try to lead that way. And in a space, in a role, many of us, a lot of coaches and educators and pastors and preachers of all facets, CEOs, listen to this podcast. And so in the sporting sector, you know, you have God's way, and then you have, this is the business, right? And so often I remember I've been coaching for upwards of almost 15 years, right? I remember when I became a head coach of the program, individuals, some of which were mentors to me, said, you know, I hear people saying, you know, you're doing well with the young ladies, you are going to produce great scholars, leaders, but in terms of winning, you're not gonna, that's going to take you some time because, you know, you're doing it a different way. And I said, okay, well, I'm trying to understand what you're saying here, right? Because I don't know if this, in your opinion, is a compliment. I don't know if you're trying to coach me different. But what I do know is how I lead these young ladies. This is a purpose position. God right. placed me here. And so I don't coach them based off of the business. I go based to the playbook. My Bible was in my office. I was reaching for it. I go to the playbook, right? I have a playbook where I've written plays, but this is my playbook. And I consult this playbook. And I, as you said, spiritual download, I go to the Father to determine how to coach his children. So I don't care about, as you say, how long it takes, because the expected end, in God's time, regardless if you do it your way, I'm going to do it God's way. And so when you say that, and I love how you lean in on, you've been to multiple countries, you've worked for different Fortune 500, you know, 500 companies. And I know that there's the business way. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's God's way. And to hear that you, from start to finish, consulted the Father in order to build this structure and this blueprint for effective faith-based leaders, it just floors me. It floors me.
Wow. Well, it's deep what you just also mentioned, because we are running, okay, we are doing business, and you're right. My Bible, I call it the contract. That's my terms and conditions.
I love that.
Just like it is for you. So you're right. We're taking his way to run the business, because we need him in the business. A lot of problems really began in this country when we took him out of the schools. We took him out of all those different things, and what started erupting, you know, mass shootings. Yep. Of that nature. We need him in everything that we do, because we were made in his image.
Now that's for sure. You know, and that's one of the things, like I said, my daughter is two. She's my first child, and she's two. And last night, even, that's the funny thing about it. I tell people all the time, my pastor asked me to speak for Mother's Day at my church. And you know, a lot of times, you know, speakers, whatever, pastor or not, and I don't proclaim that yet. God hasn't given me that, but giving the message, shall I say, sometimes you're like, did that story really happen, or was pastor kind of throwing that in to match the message, right? And I was laughing because many people who know my daughter knows that exactly what I was saying was the truth. And so yesterday, it always works that the conversations that I'm having that are God-led, my daughter, her name is Hendrix, she'll do something that's relevant to the conversation I'm having. And so yesterday, we were sitting there, and she's in this thing, I do it, I do it. Or if she doesn't want to say something, she'll say, you say it, right? You go first. So I had been saying to her often just different things. And so what we're working on now is just, Jesus died on the cross for you and me.
Yeah, okay.
And so I just so happened to have a cross on my shirt that I was wearing, and mm-hmm. she was playing with it, and she called it a T, because we're doing letters as well. Okay. So I said, you're absolutely right, babe. That definitely looks like a T, but this is a cross. And remember, mommy said, Jesus died on the cross for you and me. So she said, no, mommy, you say it. So I said it again, and then we said it together. Why do I say that? I say that because of much of what you said, removing Christ outside of, you know, the walls of the school, where the child spends more time there, in some cases, than they do home, right? Mm-hmm. But I often think about, as you call it, the contract, the very things that I try to instill in my daughter, and how much of that was instilled in me by my mom and my grandparents, and how it moves, right? How it had allows me and enables me to move in such a different way, that I don't care if I'm in the NCAA tournament, or I don't care if I'm in the walls of a conference room in education, or if I'm talking to my daughter, it's going to be steered, as you say, by the terms and conditions of the contract. And that beyond me, standing in a place and knowing this is my terms and this is the terms and conditions that I have with the father. And so even if it doesn't align with your business contract or what education says or what my governor may say, right? I know I have to abide by the terms and conditions of what my Heavenly Father said. And if I can do that, it goes back to what we're saying. I can lay my pillow down and I can know that I've put my hands on my knees and exhausted everything out of this vessel.
Oh, that's beautifully said. And I like the way that you frame that, because people often want to align with the business and what, you know, they see their mentors and people they admire do. But if business was that going so well, why am I on deck doing so much coaching? Because it's the business that isn't working. Brings you to coaching to try to figure out another solution.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, it's one of those things too, where a lot of what we do, and I'm trying to be more intentional about this, is self-reflection, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when the day ends, and when I do, like we say, lay my head down, or I have a minute to rest without hearing I do it or help me or play with me. Yeah. I try to really spend some time in self-reflection to ensure that, you know, did I make the right conversations today with my young ladies, or did I handle that situation correctly? How could I have done that maybe in a different way, or those type of things? How important in servant leadership and in leadership where we move off of either a, as I call it, the playbook, or as you call it, your contract, how important is it for servant leaders to self-reflect as they're moving about their day? How important do you feel that servant leaders should self-reflect as they're moving on God's assignment?
I am so glad that you touched on that. That is so vitally important. I say that, and I mean, that is gold right there. Because about before midway of my career, someone asked me, they said, Paula, do you keep a work journal? I said, what is a work journal? She said, if you don't do anything but write 3 bullets every workday of what you felt you accomplished, or who you inspired, or who you motivated, what benefits did you bring to other people? 3 bullets a day. That's not much to ask. I say, you're right. I'll start doing that. I'm so glad that I took her up on that particular suggestion, because now I have about 30 work journals in my office. Wow. Of lead, and within it are leadership tips, things I navigated through. You know, also I used it to prepare for job interviews. I used it to apply for leadership programs, also advanced degree programs. But those 30 journals are now available to my 2 grandchildren. And if once they start reading them, they will know more about me than my son does.
Oh my goodness. I love
that. It's important that we keep some type of documentation, even if it's weekly, even monthly at the most, because as women, we do not intentionally take pauses to acknowledge and reward ourselves the way that we need to. We go from thing to thing to thing to thing. Then we're exhausted. We don't see any value. Our self-confidence is too low. But having that documented somewhere and going back and rereading it and referencing that allows our self-confidence to grow. We see the evidence of what we're doing and the value that we are bringing. And we know how to value ourselves, because if we don't, then we're going to allow other people to run ramshock all over us. I mean, that's one thing Dr. Miles Monroe said. You know, he said it ties into our purpose. These work journals allow you to clearly see what is our purpose, because we see what God is actually doing with us. And there's a track record here for us to see. Others to see. He said, when purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable.
Come on.
We use ourselves and allow other people to abuse us too. We have to take it back down to purpose. What is our purpose? And people will ask me, hey, are you dating? Da, 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 da. Well, I need someone to answer one question for me. And I teach it to the young people too. If you want to date and prepare for marriage, if they cannot answer this one question, run like Forrest Gump. Because you should be secure in your purpose, first of all. Ask them, what is their purpose?
That's
they
good.
Can't answer that or fumble it like a high school student going into the first NFL game, run.
I love that. That is such sound advice, but I want you to understand that you've given me added to my arsenal because I will begin my work journal tomorrow, okay, upon going to work. Like, is that
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's golden for sure. That is sound advice, as you were saying. And I'm like, oh my goodness, because I'm like, is that her next book? Like, this is what I'm thinking to myself. Like, that's a whole book within itself, right? But I think you said it best. And what was coming to me is write the vision and make it plain. That's what was just speaking to me, because we can say all of these things, right? I can say I want to do this, right? I even say what I believe that my purpose is. But it's when I put that pen to paper. That's one of those things I've truly tried to work on. And my, if this is my goal, write the vision, make it plain.
There it is.
I can see it. And so when that's what is said to me, those are the words with what you just said, that work journal. I can only imagine the gems that are dropped in those work journals. I can, that's some goal over there. You don't have to tell me on page to page. Because one of the things I truly believe is missing now is, as I always say, the blueprint. My mother, amazing lady. If you see her, you'll know. I tell all the time, I look just like her. But my striving grace is to mirror my actions to what she has instilled. That's the twin and I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And 44 years in education, but right. At her retirement, I said to the blueprint, right? Because that's exactly what you just said, that I made sure that every day, rather it was in my walk, in my talk, to my seed, my legacy, as you mentioned now, your son, your grandchildren, right? That everything I did, my wins, watch this now, and my misses, I don't say losses, my wins and how I learned and my misses, I can't hide those things. That's the part of leadership that I feel is lacking, the transparency, right?
Yes.
That I miss. I was asked on this. He's awesome. His name is Chip Baker. He's an amazing leader. He's like my brother now. He's doing great things, an author as well. I have to connect y'all to. But he asked me what my legacy was. And it was crazy because those are one of the questions that, you know, people probably ask you when you're writing a book or you get a chance to think. And I probably would not have answered the same way had I not now, I'm not now a mom, right? 2 years ago, I probably answered this differently.
Yes.
But I paused for a second and I always just before any conversation, even recorded or not, just say, God, do your thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that question was so sound to what you just talked about, even just the work journal. I'm telling you, that has sent me is that it. I just can imagine with each page, I'm providing a blueprint. Yes, it's helping me in the moment, but it will stay past my time here.
Right.
It will allow for those that come, as you mentioned, your grandchildren later to be able to see. I told them, I said, you know, if you watch basketball, and one of the things, especially to the better players, right, the star that you're watching, they'll show a clip and they'll say, this is how many shots they made. This is how many shots they miss. And then they'll put the colors. They'll put some green dots for the maids and some red dots for the misses and show you where they made them and where they missed them. I said, I live my life in such a way that I want the misses and the maids to be made humbly aware to Hendrix so that she can see them. And I don't care if she sees the misses, because if my misses allow for her to miss less, if my misses allow a path for her to be plainer, not easier, but to say, I don't need to open that door. I saw mommy went down that door and that thing don't work.
There you go.
Then that's all I want my legacy to be. And when you mention the work journal, that's a leadership gem that I don't think I've in my years, in the mentors I've had, That's some sound advice that skyrockets top to my list when I say I'm taking effect to that tomorrow. So thank you.
You're so welcome. It's been so known to me, and I'm glad I did not throw all those journals out, because this is the blueprint. This is the legacy for the kids. So they can see what has been accomplished, because what also was a driver for me, aside from the Lord, was to see my paternal grandmother. I mean, she birthed 12 children in Mississippi in the 40s and was running 3 to 4 businesses.
Wow.
So if she could do that, and I got the same DNA in me, I got to get on it.
I love that. Isn't it amazing how our mothers and our fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, all those that paved the way for us, how they continue to push us even after? And that's why that work journal is so impactful to me right now. Like, that's what I see, right? I see, and then it allows you too, that I bet you, if you want to look at something maybe even 2 years ago, you find out something new about you, and that was a two-year-old version of you.
Always amazed.
That's so good. Now that's what's golden.
Right. And all of us will be able to see the growth. That also raises our self-confidence. We have to raise our self-confidence. We have to show up. We have to make sure that our voices are heard. We have to ask those strategic questions, and we have to think strategically. And one thing I also noticed in raising my son, he started his first business at 9 years old. He's in his early 40s now.
Gotcha.
So I didn't always tell him what to do like my parents did for me all the time. I started asking him what questions. So, low risk things, so that he can begin to filter out what would be the best option for him. And we talked about it and unpacked it. So just even if you go into a CEO's office today with questions, 9 times out of 10, he is not going to answer them. He's going to respond with what questions to see, okay, can he get your strategic thinking skills ramped up? Because I talked and coached CEOs, and one was very transparent. He said, let me tell you what we do as CEOs. First of all, we acknowledge we are not the experts in the room. That's why you have CEOs from an airline industry who may get appointed to another industry he's never worked in before. They are responsible for leading and inspiring people. He says, secondly, we have enough sense to hire the experts. And thirdly, we have enough sense to try to listen to them. And then we collect that information by asking what questions, which are strategic questions, to pull the expertise out of them. Look at the landscape and synthesize all of this information, and then make a decision for the organization. So why are we not turning on the CEO mindsets of our children?
Ooh. Oh. You know, some of those statements push you back like, whoa, that's good. That makes you think.
Yes.
Oh, that's so good. And it's funny that you say that, because it's almost like you jumped into my next question for you to ponder. And that's fine if that's actually what the answer would be. But in all of the paths that you have crossed and paved, and in all of your experience, and in every moment that you've gone through, between conversations, between training sessions, between education, between even helping your mother, right? Being a mother, when you think about your career, when you think about your life, right? When you think about strategic leadership, and even in government, all of those things involved, if you were speaking to the leaders of the next generation, what would you steer them most? I know you probably would have gems on top of gems to give, but if there would have to be one thing that you would wish for them to take with them to lead on, as they would say, fight on, charge on for the next generation of leaders, what's one thing you can impart to us as we move forward on how to lead, as you say, effectively, recognizing that our playbook contract is the driver, even in tumultuous times?
Great question. That takes me, it really reminds me of King David. Mm-hmm. King David had problems. He had a very adventurous career and life, and which also allows us to draw so many lessons from it, good and bad. But one thing about King David, and God said, this is a man of my own heart. He chases after my heart. We have to guard our hearts. If you want to change your life, change your heart.
Come on.
And that, Because the scripture says all the issues of life come from the heart, right? People
That's
have
it, yep.
attacks. What's attacking your heart? What's going on in your life that's attacking your heart? What are we not paying attention to? Humility is the greatest weapon we have available. Move forward with good intention and a humble heart. God will take care of the rest.
Come
but
on.
he's always looking at the heart. And that's what determined your best leaders in the Bible. God was looking at the heart. People wanted King Saul because he had the look. He had the stature. He said, I'm really your king, but if you want him instead, I give him to you. And he just created a chaotic mess. He said, I
Yes,
want
he did.
this little shepherd boy because I know his heart. And he did. And as much as King David did, King David constantly repented. He would come to that place of repentance with true repentance, and he would get back on track. People say, well, I backslid. Well, slide back. Okay, we all backslide every once in a while, but slide back. What's keeping you from sliding back? Do the repentance, forgive, release it, and move on, because he still has work for us to do. Guard the heart.
So good. That is so, so good. I was the slap back, as the kids say, that's the part that got me. That's that. What was that? You ate that. These kids in their lingo, you ate that though. And I get it now. I get it. Because it's one of those things where I would always say there's never too far of a place for you to travel where God can't bring you back from. He's still there. He's still there. I remember one of the things, well, we went to the store. Don't touch nothing. Don't ask me for nothing. And you better stay right with me. If they had the call on that PA, because my mama wasn't going to look for you, you're done. Okay? Mm-hmm. You are done when you get home, right? And so I remember that, you know, just looking off. And if she's on a mission, sometimes I'm going to miss her. But I'll never forget, she would say, I have to check out. You know I have to check out, so you know where I'm going to be. So even if you veer off a little bit as we got older, that's fine. You just need to make sure that you're where I am when it's time to go home, right? Mm-hmm. When it's time to check out. I'm going to be there. I told you where I'm going to be. And yes, so God. Even when we would go to electronics, it's back then they'll let you play on the video games. Really want to go. Or we want to go and spray the perfume and smell it. Mm-hmm. We knew, okay, I don't see Mama Roman. We gotta, she told us where she's gonna be. Let's go. And that's how God works. So when you said, okay, we get it. He knows we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. His yes. word tells us that. But as you said, come back, because just like my mom would say, you know where I'm gonna be. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
You are only going to miss when I told you where I would be and you fail to come back.
Powerful.
Powerful. And that's a God thing. And I know it seems hard. I tell my young ladies all the time as they're trying to learn their faith and grow in their faith. I say, sweetheart, the world makes it seem like it's hard to come. I said, but do you know how many times he simply says, come? Just come. I'll have people over. What do I need to bring? Nah, just come. I'm not even thinking about it. That's just, you just your own neighbor. Mm-mm, just come. You? What do I need? Anybody wearing it? Come. Like, where would you want? You sure you don't know drinks? No, I have that. Everything we need, God, much like here, I have it. I have your food. I have your drink. Wear what you want. Be who you are. Just come. Just come.
Beautiful.
Gosh, that's so good.
That blessed me.
I could talk to you for days. You hear me? Like, you know, I tell anybody, it's like, not even to do it. I meet amazing people in this assignment from God, but I already know, like, you're going to be hearing from me. I already know this.
Good.
You know, as we start to, you know, of course, close up on, oh my goodness. And what's funny is, like, I tell people all the time, guys, and I told Dr. Mattis this, and we literally allow God to move in this conversation because he's the one, he's the driver, right? All we do is come. But there are two things, there's two questions. Anybody that watches the podcast, listens to the podcast, knows that there's two questions that I give to enshrine and induct and bring in the next servant leader to the bunch, right? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions you already answered, which was just your take on servant leadership. So I've shifted some things for you, okay? So mm-hmm. the question that I have for you in place of that, knowing that you have written this amazing authored book by God, as you have said, The Download from Christ, yes. and one that's also on the way, right? Knowing yeah. all of the coaching techniques and gems that you've dropped, what is your message and your legacy that you hope to leave from your book or books, because I do believe it's even more than the one you write, and the coaching that you plan to leave back for us when you're done coaching, when you're done writing, and you're in front of God with your hands on your knees saying, I've given all I had?
I like that question. You know, I want to be able to tell him I gave it all to make sure that they knew you, Father, mm. and was able to immediately apply you into their day-to-day. Because I remember historically, we always think, well, okay, yes, this Bible is precious. And yes, I pull it off the shelf on Sundays or whatever days of worship and Bible study. And then I put it back safely where it belongs. It belongs out all the time. It belongs in everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. And what I so enjoy about this assignment he has given me is that I get to talk to so many people in so many vocations of life where they've been placed, and I show them how the scripture applies. And a lot of times they are people of other faith and maybe no faith at all, mm-hmm. but that does not keep me from showing them the right way. And there's only one right way, you know? So, definitely. And this is how you can get better results by applying some of these same principles. Why are you fighting in another way and just keeping yourself in a chaotic state of not having peace, worried about, okay, navigating uncertainty? That is a hot topic. It has been a hot topic for the past couple of years, 2 or 3 years now, because of the pandemic. No, you don't know what's coming, but we all have a responsibility to ourselves to utilize all of those gifts that he has placed in us. What's in your garage? Mm. Bill Gates became rich by using what was in his garage to create a computer. Steve Jobs, the same thing. He used what was in his garage. What is in our garages? We store up all this stuff. Sometimes we're paying for storage, some of us. What's in that garage that you could be utilizing and you're not utilizing, but it is part of your gifting, or probably some of the blessings you're holding up from somebody else, so your blessings are going to be held up. He said, be spent.
Yes.
So spend all that he has placed in us. It is for his glory and also for the benefit of the kingdom. What are we storing up? Because anything he said you try to store up is going to rot. It's going to deteriorate. It's going to go away, and you can't bring it with you.
Can't bring it with you.
No. Mm-mm. So take all that he has given us. There's nothing he cannot solve. There's nothing that he's a miracle working God. He can resolve it all. I've seen miracle after miracle in my life. I've seen how he's taken me from glory to glory. I've seen how he pulled me out of some pits that I placed myself in.
Come on.
So just let him do what he does so well and just love on us and do what he created us to do, was to reflect his glory back to him and love on him. So I want to be able to show people how to apply this in day-to-day situations. He's not a far-off God. He's living inside of us. Mm. Allow him to do that and be who he is to us.
That's so good. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm glad, even though I'm a younger one, I'm thankful I grew up how I grew up. Because, you know, old school folk would have been throwing stuff at you. You know, you better be glad it's virtual, because... You know,
I think they just in the churches.
And yes, exactly. I can see, because if you were in reach, I'd be throwing something over there. That is so good. Like, and it truly makes you have to truly do an inventory to ensure, you know, I laugh. I love to cook in my spare time. And, you know, I always tell my kids, well, what you put in that? Yeah, you know, and they say it on social media, they laugh, but it's like onion powder to me. Goes in everything. Like it just does. It's one of the staples that you got to make sure: onion powder, garlic powder, nature seasoning. That's the base. And then the variation of flavors comes after that. Right. And I laugh. And they're like, well, everything. And I laugh when you, because it matches. It's my Bible shouldn't be, you saw how I reached, right? Because that was a reflex. Mm-hmm. It's near me and I just moved rooms, right? Mm-hmm. That was the only thing. But it shouldn't be something to where, like you said, I only pull it down when I need it. It shouldn't be one of those things that is collecting dust.
Right.
That's something just like onion powder. It goes in everything, and right? Everything. That is so good.
Yes, that resonates with me. I enjoy cooking. I taught at the Viking Cooking School for a time, and I tell you, it's a great experience.
That, what else, like, what have you not done? That's what I should have started with. That's the question that should have been there. What have you not done? Yes, and I somehow feel like if you haven't, you're going to do it.
I'm always working on it. I scuba dive. I get into archery. I am a professional photographer. I've made quilts. I sell quilts for an exorbitant amount of money. I do a lot of things. I sew clothes. During the pandemic, my first grandchild came early, 2 months early. I'm like everybody else, buying fabric, making masks on the sewing machine. There was no fabric anywhere. And I said, well, they've got 1X, 2X size shirts in the latest department at Walmart. So I went ahead and deconstructed those shirts and made infant little outfits for my newborn. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, trademark this name. And I started putting my own labels in the kids' clothes. He said, King Kids Collection.
Of course he did. And of course you did. Like, what?
It's a trademark that the kids can have, they can keep, they can sell it, whatever they want to do with it.
That's phenomenal. That is beyond words. And you know, that's in your, exactly. That's sitting there and you place it into fruition and you place it into kinetic energy. I'm a science teacher by trade. And we talk about kinetic and potential energy. And I tell my kids so often, I said, you all stay in potential. And it's crazy. You all stay in potential. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be the outside gravitational force that's going to put you in kinetic. And so I love that, because when God sees us moving, when we put faith to the work, right? Because faith without works is dead. That's one of the things that my young ladies, our program each year stays consistent. I don't care how much you want to dream of a state championship. Are you doing the work? That's not how that works. And so I love how you said it was in my garage, but you placed some work to your faith and look what God has done.
Does it every time?
That's so good.
Yeah. The sewing machine is in the garage. Okay. I can sell quilts for $5,000 or more. I can make the children's clothing. I knew how to cook like you. Okay. Christmas and Thanksgiving, I made loads of money in Atlanta. The 3-layer German chocolate cakes, special pecan pies. People crying, oh, this reminds me of grandmother. Well, thank you. And I enjoy conversation. Help to pay some bills.
Love that.
Exhaust all that he has given to us and find out what you enjoy. And then the next thing, find out how you want to monetize it. Invent your different streams of income. They're already there. Are we aware of them? Have we identified them? And are we utilizing them?
Y'all better take heed. I hope y'all taking notes. I truly hope you're taking notes. And of course, this is my favorite question, because it's a reminder for me. And I love it because I'll maybe see someone, I talk to somebody and they say, coach, and they'll ask it. And so one of the things, especially prior to becoming a mom, you know, I would have more time to spend I would try to have multiple moments with God. Cause I tell people, you want me to have this time. Okay. Cause see, me without him, me aside from him, sometimes my responses may not be what they need to be, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I may not perform how I need to perform or say what I need to say or do what I need to do. But see, with him, right? With him, with my time with him allows me to do what I do. That's the secret weapon. When I became a mom, that looked different for me. One of the things that I love to do is what I call my God is devotional. And what I would do is while I get up, as soon as I get up and I thank him for another day, I would just start saying, God is, and I would try to just rip off until I couldn't anymore with what he is to me, what he's been to me, right? And you know the beautiful part about it, an amazing part of that? I would get ready. I would get in my car and I would still be ripping off what he is. I would park at work and walk to my classroom and I would still be ripping off what he is. And the only thing that would stop me is the school bell or now I need to get to work, right? So I used to write them when I had time, but once Hendrix came, I still did it, but it would be in my head or speaking out loud in the car. So today you don't get as many as I get, right? Because there's so many, all right? Today you only get one. So if I were to write God is, and I drew an imaginary blank on the screen, how would servant leader Dr. Paula Maddox fill that blank? God is what to you?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, as I'm always speaking with him and he's speaking with me, you know, if I had to select just one word, it would have to be source. He's the source of everything for me. Everything that originates in me comes from him. He is the source. He's the root of everything. So, I would not be able to do much of anything that I do, or if anything, I would be a disaster.
Come on. I'm going to tell you this story before we close out. My daughter, again, I'm telling you, I always heard from God. I always understood him, but it's almost like he fine-tuned it with that little girl, okay? I was making breakfast, love to cook, and she, much like all kids, you make their plate, but it's something about the parents' plate. They want that. It's the same thing, right? So she went to her dad and, you know, he was kind of like toying with her. And he was like, you have eggs. No. And so he was like, fine, here. Well, by this time, she had walked to the kitchen and she said, mommy. And I said, what's wrong? Daddy's being mean. And I said it before I knew it. I looked at my husband and I said, ha. She said, I don't need yours. I'm going to mommy because mommy's the one that has everything. Mommy's the one that made it. And in that moment, I said, oh my goodness. The source of what daddy had was in the kitchen with mommy. So I don't have to toy around and ask you. I just can go to the source. And that thing blessed me. That thing, I still move off of that. So I hear you. Because even in everything that we can say, the beauty of the God is devotional is just that. No matter what I place in that blank, right? He is the source, right? It doesn't matter what I need. As long as I remember, like you said, is to slide back. Come on back. He's the source, whatever it is. Whatever it is. I love going to Bucky's and the Busy Bee. Because I feel like, well, I've never been. What do I have? Everything.
That's what I hear. I need to go.
You got to go. But I feel like that with God. Well, I mean, what if he has it? Go. Well, what about this? He has it. You need a healing? Yep, he has that too. You need peace? Yep, he got that too. In your size. Because he's the source. And that God is devotional. What it allows me to remember is he's the same, as it says, yesterday, today, and forevermore. But even in the moments where I may forget, even in the moments where what I'm enduring makes me forget, he's still that. Just because I may have an off day, he's still that. And so while I'm complaining or while I may forget, I just go back to the source. Because whatever I'm feeling, he has the remedy.
He's got it. He's got it. And I'm so glad that I've been able to teach my clients who are just running behind these executives, who are running behind these leaders, trying to prove or validate themselves. I'm like, babe, if you already told me you're a child of the Most High God, you've already been validated. And we coached on that thing with several of them. And they said, and they called me back, well, I got promoted. I said, yes, because you went to the source.
Come on.
Man.
Come on. I love when after a game or a win or, you know, where I coach, I have to take young ladies that may have never played before. And I just say, God, do your thing, right? And I laugh because one of my favorite movies is the Bad News Bears, you know what it's called? Uh-huh. And And it's some years we're like that. Now we're in a good stride right now. But one of the questions I love is when they say, Coach, what's the secret? And I'm like, you really want to know? And they're like, yes. And they think I'm just about to just give them like this. It's like, I'm not the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the assistant coach. I've always been. And they're kind of perplexed. And I tell them, God is the coach. He always has been. He just allows me. You've seen it. Sometimes the old town coaches let the younger ones get up. I said, he's the coach. He drives this. This is my playbook. And I move how he tells me to move. And much like you said, how you coach those individuals, once you learn who steers the ship, you just ride away.
Go sailing, baby.
Come on. Oh, my goodness. This has been, I can't even put words to it. I cannot. I tell people, ask like, what's the most rewarding thing? And I said, you know, I recognize that God loved me so much to feel enough for me to be on this assignment that he's created. Mm-hmm. And the blessing in it, the return on his investment is you're sitting me in places where I get to sharpen my iron every day with sharp iron.
Isn't it beautiful?
And today you did that. Like, people better not touch me because I feel like I'm sharp. Okay. You have dropped so many gems. You have so much wisdom, but you know who steers your ship. And I just, one, have to say thank you because you are phenomenal. You truly have. I know that the listeners are going to grow beyond on this. But two, thank you again for your time, because I know that there's many things, as we've now heard, that you could be doing, and you took the time to make us better. Thank you, truly.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a joy, and I look forward to coming back anytime.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, before we go, you know, I have to say this. If you are driving while you are listening, if you are doing anything that does not allow you to close your eyes, please don't do that. God understands. But before we exit this conversation, do you mind, servant leader Dr. Paula Maddox, giving us a brief prayer before we close?
I do not mind at all. Thank you for the invitation. Well, Father God, we're just so grateful to have your presence in the midst of these conversations and to be in our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, showing us the way and the pathway, and know how to come to you as our source for anything and everything that we could possibly need and want, because you're the source of overflow. You always give us more in which we even ask or think, Father, and we're so grateful to be able to reflect your glory back to you, to be able to absorb and embrace all that you pour out to us and then pour it out to your other children, your flock, Father, so that they will begin to know and recognize you as well. So thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel and to be your ambassadors in the earth. We just love you and praise you. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us and washes us clean and white as snow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. My favorite line of every episode, servant leader Paula Maddox, you are now a part of the servant leader family.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm so honored.
I love it. I feel like every time I say that, I just feel like, you know, it's draft day and we just got the one everybody wanted, and we just keep building this all-star team for the kingdom. It's the best. Now, before we get out of here, can you let our listeners know, how can they connect with you? How can they get your amazing book? If they possibly want to reach out to you for coaching, how can they do those things?
Wonderful. Thank you. They can find my book on Amazon, and also Cross Current Digital, which is a family-oriented resource for families where you don't have a lot of the other muck and mire that other platforms carry. And you can also reach me at 404-939-7432. And as my website is being ported onto a new platform, because a new website has just been designed, so it may not be available right at this moment, you can always reach me at prepare2shift.com.
I love it. And we'll make sure that when the website is updated, we will also place all of those in the show notes. We'll also update it as it comes so they can know how to connect. Because listen, if you all know how I know, you better connect.
I look forward to it.
Likewise. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. We thank you guys for listening. We're going to see you guys next time.
When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.